Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
I want to preach about growing the church. If you'll turn with me, please, in your scriptures to the Gospel of St. John in chapter number 1. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. I'm going to read verses 35 through verse 42 and preach about growing the church. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about it, but probably we should. The church as we know it, really, if you go all the way back to before the day of Pentecost, it began with two people, only two. The Bible says John the Baptist preaching the ministry of repentance, and Andrew repented and followed John the Baptist. But the scriptures say that there was two disciples who followed John. Andrew was mentioned. The other was not mentioned. Now, who do you think the other disciple was? I personally think it was John the Beloved. So I believe, my conviction is, it was Andrew and John, not John the Baptist, John the Beloved, John the Apostle, John the Beloved. Andrew and John were following John the Baptist preaching the message of repentance. So really, if you go back, the church as we know it today really began with only two. Two converts through John the Baptist started the church. What we are today has just grown and mushroomed, if you will, spiritually from the very beginnings that we read about here today. A very small beginning indeed, wouldn't you say? Two? To what it is today, growing the church. Now, our church may be small compared to a lot of churches, but listen, just because we may be a small congregation does not mean we should stay small. If we allow God to use us as He used Andrew and John and the others I'm going to share with you shortly, as He used those and they followed Him and listened to Him and obeyed Him, the church just began to grow and to grow and to grow. The thing to realize is this: you got to start where you are. It started where Andrew and John were, with John the Baptist preaching. We may be small, but we shouldn't stay small. We are commanded in the Great Commission to go forth to all nations of this world and make disciples, win people to Jesus, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things as we're trying to observe what Jesus taught us. We don't have to stay small. We're commanded, in fact, not to stay small. We can grow, church. Listen to me carefully. We can grow, and we should grow from right where we are to where God wants us to be. We can grow the church, God through us. Let me say it right. God through us can grow His church in this place to whatever He wants it to be if we'll just be obedient and humble and listen to Him and follow Him, as we're going to see in this passage right here. You'll see how quickly the church began to grow. If we're going to grow a church, there's some things I think pointed out here we need to see. First of all, I want you to see this. It's an invitation to the saints. Again, verse 35, verse 36, verse 37. This was the third day John the Baptist had continued to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," the kingdom of God. Then he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John's ministry was simply to introduce people to Jesus. Isn't that what our ministry is supposed to be? Isn't that the heart of what Christian ministry really should be? Is that we introduce people to Jesus Christ? Isn't it a blessing to be invited to serve Jesus? John invited Andrew, and he accepted. I'm sure he invited John, and John accepted. When he said, Behold, here comes the Lamb of God. They saw the Lamb of God. They heard the Savior. They heard John say, this is the one whom you've been seeking. This is the one who's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world who's come to take away sin. Now you think about it. One who can take away sin? There's a lot of so-called, pro-called saviors in this world, but there's not but one who can take away sin. Only one can take away sin, and it's the Lamb of God that we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So John kept preaching. On the third day, he said, Andrew, John, here comes the Lamb of God. Behold, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world. He pointed to Andrew and John and said, here's the Savior. I'm just a messenger. Here's the one who takes away the sin. And he pointed them, invited them to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. They not only heard about the Savior, they saw the Savior. Imagine John the Baptist saying, here's the Messiah. Here's the one you're to put your faith in. Here's the one you should trust in. Here's the one you should follow. Could you imagine today, just think about this. I got a kind of a chuckle when I think about it. Could you imagine any preacher today inviting two of his church members to leave his church and go over here and join this other church? I don't think so. Just doesn't work that way, does it? But that's exactly what John did, John the Baptist. He said, here's the Messiah. Here's the one you should follow. I'm not the Savior, I'm just a messenger. So they left the messenger and they joined the Master. So you see, the first thing of growing a church is that we're invited to not only hear the Savior, but to follow the Savior. And we're invited that we might be able to invite others to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Andrew believed it. Andrew followed. John followed. Let me ask us a question. Are we following our Savior? Have we trusted Him as we should? Are we following Him? Are we inviting others to come to know Jesus Christ? If we're not, we're failing. Because He commanded us to share Him with others. It began from the beginning of sharing the Messiah, the Master, the Savior with others. So you see, growing a church, first of all, begins with the invitation to the saints to be a part of the saints, first of all, and then to invite others to come to know Jesus Christ. But notice in this passage, from the invitation of Andrew and John comes a communication with the Savior. Look at verse 38. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Andrew and John understood they must know more about the Savior. They must know Him more purely, more intimately than what they just were introduced to. They had just been introduced to the Savior. They wanted to know more. They had to know more about Him. They saw Him initially enough to follow Him. And then they asked Him, or He asked them, rather, Jesus turned and saw them following Him, and He said, what seekest thou? In other words, what are you looking for? What are you expecting? That's a good question, wouldn't you say? Each of us need to ask ourselves that question. What are you seeking in life? What are you really seeking from life and in life? What is life all about to you? What seekest thou, He said to them. What are you really seeking in life today? We ought to all ask ourselves that question. Well, see from this communication you see here. They exhibited faith in the Master here in verse 38. They knew Jesus was now the Messiah. John had just shared with them. They had accepted Him. They followed Him. John had preached about Him. They knew He must be the one because John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He must be the one, so they followed Him. And they knew they had to place their faith in Him and Him alone. Not John, but Jesus. And they placed their faith in the Savior. Again, I say, they left the messenger, John, and put their faith and trust in the Master. Isn't that what we should do? Leave all the things of this life and put our faith and our trust all exhibited in Jesus Christ and Him alone? They had to know Him more intimately. They were so encouraged and so inspired here. They had to know Him. So He said, what do you seek? What seekest thou? Master, where do you live? Where do you dwell? And Jesus simply said, come and see. Come and see. If we would just do what Jesus said, we could know Him more intimately, more personally, more spiritually. If he would just answer what he said, what do you seek? Lord Jesus, I seek you. Come and see, he said. So they exhibited the faith in him, but they also enjoyed the fellowship. The Bible says here in verse 39 that they went with Jesus and they stayed the greater part of that day. And I would probably say they might even spent part of the night. I don't know. But at least the last part of that day, they went to fellowship with him. Do you realize we could have a lot more fellowship with Jesus Christ if we spent more time with Him? The more time you spend with Jesus, like the old song says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We could have more fellowship, more intimate personal fellowship as a church and as individuals if we just follow Him and spend time with Him. Just come and see, just like He told them. Another place in Matthew 11, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What true, real fellowship Andrew and John had with Jesus that day. What true and real fellowship, beloved, we could have with the Lord Jesus today if we'd just come and see and spend more time with Him. How does this affect church growth, this invitation to the saints and this communication with the Savior? Let me show you. From this invitation, this communication, we find here some great inspiration to be a soul winner. Look at verse 40 through 42 again. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. After spending that day in fellowship with Jesus, their lives were never the same anymore. They were just radically changed. Many great things were going to happen in the life of Andrew and John after they met Jesus and followed Him, put their faith and trust in Him. After spending time, just one day and portion of a day with Jesus, their lives were so radically changed. How were they changed? If we'd spend that time with Jesus as a church or as an individual, our lives, our church would be radically changed. The same thing that happened to them would happen to us. Two things happened. First of all, there was a burden there that began to be borne by Andrew. Notice what it says. Andrew, first of all, when he met Jesus, put his faith in Jesus and spent a little time with Jesus, the Bible says Andrew went and found his brother, Simon. In other words, Andrew couldn't stand it. He had to tell somebody else the good news. He had to tell somebody else, we have found the Messiah, the one you've been looking for, the one you've been expecting. Brother Simon, we have found him. He had to tell someone. A burden came on his heart to tell his brother, Simon, that he had found the Lord Jesus. So he rushed out and he found his brother and he told him, let me ask you something. Just think about it. What if Andrew had accepted Jesus and decided he'd just be a silent disciple? He held it really down in here, but he wasn't going to share it with anybody else. What do you think might have happened to Simon Peter if Andrew, his brother, had not gone out and got him and brought him to Jesus? Now, Simon Peter was a pretty rough-shod fisherman. Rough in the rough. Simon Peter, if he had not heard about Jesus, he might have died a lonely fisherman and died and gone to hell because Andrew didn't tell him. Maybe nobody else could have. Nobody else would have. What might have happened to Simon Peter? You see, when you meet Jesus and you fellowship with Him, the burden comes on your heart for somebody else. I remember in my own life, I'll share this again with you. I've shared it many times. I'm glad to always share it. When I got saved way back in 1964, the first person that I went to witness to was my brother. And about a week later, my brother came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, when you get saved, there's a burden comes into your heart, into your life. Something so great that happens to us like salvation, you cannot keep it to yourself. It'll get out on you. Amen? It did on Andrew, and it does to us today. It would get out more from the church if that burden for lost people was upon us as it was Andrew. It says he found his brother. He didn't just tell his brother Simon about Jesus. He brought him, the Bible says, in verse 42, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So you see, it's not just a burden being born. You've got to share. But then with all that's in us, we've got to be responsible for bringing people to the Lord Jesus, as Andrew brought his brother Simon to the Lord. Everywhere you find Andrew in all the New Testament, and you only find him listed three times in the New Testament, but every single time you find Andrew mentioned, you'll find him introducing somebody to Jesus. Let me share those three times with you. Of course, you shared one right here. He brought his own brother to the Lord Jesus. Also, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 6 and verse number 8, you find Andrew bringing that little lad to Jesus. When he's about to feed the thousands, he brought that lad to Jesus, introduced him, the little lad with the fishes and the loaves. He brought that lad to Jesus and introduced him to Jesus. Also, you find him, and when the Greeks wanted to know about Jesus, they said, we would seek Jesus. Who you think was the one who introduced the Greeks to Jesus? Andrew. So every time you find Andrew mentioned in the whole New Testament, he was bearing a burden for lost people. He was bearing a burden to introduce people to Jesus everywhere you find him. If you wish to see Jesus, Andrew was your man. Andrew was the one who would introduce you right away to Jesus. Listen, if people want to see Jesus today, let us be the Andrews. Let us be the ones. Let us be the people who would introduce anybody and everybody we can to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring people to Jesus. So you see, there was a great inspiration there when Jesus came alive in their lives. But I want you to see one more thing here. As Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, a great transformation took place in Peter's life. Now, Peter was introduced to Jesus. And oh, some wonderful things are about to happen in Peter's life that we know from the New Testament, bears out the witness and testimony of it. Jesus radically changed the life of Simon. He can do the same for us. He should have already done the same for us. And he can do the same today that he did in that day, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So what he did then with Peter's life, he can do in anybody's life today. They'll just be brought to Jesus, introduced to him, accept him, and follow him. Radical things, radical changes. It's like it is in Corinthians. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are past, well, behold, all things become new. All things are about to become new in Simon Peter's life. Look at it, how Jesus has compassion on people. The Bible says here in verse 42 and 3 that Jesus beheld Simon. Does that sound strange? Jesus beheld a lot of people. Why would it say Jesus beheld Simon here? He looked on Peter with the same compassion that the Bible says in Matthew 5, that Jesus looked upon the multitudes with compassion, because he looked at them as sheep scattered abroad, not having a shepherd. He looked upon them as sheep fainting with life. He looked at them as defenseless against the wolves, defenseless against the very attack of Satan in their lives. We've got to learn to look at people like Jesus did. Amen. They're like the sheep scattered abroad, not having a shepherd. They haven't returned to the shepherd and bishop of their souls, who's Jesus Christ. So Jesus had compassion on Peter. When he beheld Peter, he knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. Listen to me. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows all about us. He has compassion upon us. Well, he knew what Peter could become. He saw in Simon Peter what he could be, not just what he was. I'm so thankful my Lord Jesus saw in me something beyond what I could see in my own life. I could have never seen myself serving the Lord. I could have never seen myself preaching the gospel. I could have never seen anything good come out of my life. But Jesus did. You may feel the same way. You may not see a thing in your life that you think was worthy that God could use. But listen, God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you as you are, but listen, He also knows you and sees you for what you can become in Him. So you see, He still has compassion on people today. I'm not so sure that maybe the church needs a good new course in compassion toward people who are lost. They strive against life. He didn't only have compassion upon the person of Peter, He converted Peter. He saved Peter. Peter, you give your life to me. I see you as you are, but I see you for what you can become in me. I see you that way. Peter, come to me. Give me your life, and I'll make all things new in your life. And certainly he did that, didn't he? Now, I know it took a long time in Peter's life for all those realities that Jesus talked about here were going to take place in Peter's life. Peter had a transformation initially, but he had a very continuing transformation all the days of his life. But it came to be a reality in his life, what God wanted from him. He got, didn't he? Well, he said, Peter, come to me. I'm going to give you a new name. Peter, I'm going to give you a new relationship. I'm going to give you a new life, Peter. I'm going to give you a new direction for life. I'm going to give you a new dimension of life. I'm going to give you a new vocation of life. I'm going to give you a new hope in life. I got all those things when I came to Jesus. But He's been working on me all these years. And you can say the same thing in your life. When you accepted Jesus, all those things He wants for you, they're going to take place as you follow Him. He just works on us and works on us. We're all a work in progress, are we not? All these wonderful things we see in Peter, Jesus said, come to me and I'll change your life. In fact, Peter, he said, I'm going to give you a new name to start with. Now your name is Cephas. Now your name is Cephas, which means strong, overbearing, hard to deal with. I'm going to change your name, you see, like I changed Jacob's name in the Old Testament. If you remember when Jacob met the Lord, his name was Jacob, which means a trickster, a con artist, we'd say today. That's the name that Jacob had. And when he met the Lord and God touched his life, he changed Jacob's name to Israel. Just in the same manner here, he says, now then, I'm going to change your name, Peter, to stone. Cephas, you're going to be called Peter. From now on, Peter means stone. It means strength. And it means stability in his life. It took a long time for that to work out in Peter's life, didn't it? But it began on this particular day. But it became a reality. Those things happened in Peter's life. He became a good, stable man. Could you look at Peter's life from that day until just kind of fast forward to the day of Pentecost? And you see the same Peter now standing on the day of Pentecost, preaching that marvelous sermon, and over about 3,000, the Bible says, got saved, came to Jesus on that day. What a change took place in Peter's life. How'd that change happen? Peter didn't do it. Andrew didn't do it. John the Baptist didn't do it. Jesus did it in Peter's life. So I want you to see the progression of the church. It began with Andrew. he got his brother Peter. Then the church was two. And John, the beloved, found his brother James, and he brought him to Jesus. That meant four. And just a short while later, if you'll just read on in the scriptures, you'll find just a day or so later, Jesus found Philip and Nathaniel, and then all of a sudden you've got six. It just exponentially grew and grew and grew and grew. And listen, beloved, thank God it's still growing today. And we're a part of that, you see. That began with just two. So don't ever think, because we may be a small church, that we can't do more, can't be more for the Lord. Don't ever let that thought pervade your mind. He intends for us to be more and to do more. He intends through us to do more and grow His church before He comes again to receive us unto Himself. He wants our church to grow into being what God wants it to be, to bring Him honor and glory and praise. He's already begun it here about 70 years ago in 2 weeks. 70 years ago, this church began with a small beginning. It's had its ups and it's had its downs. It's had its times of revival. It's had its times of strife. And the church is still here today. And it's going to be here till Jesus comes for it. The question is this: are we allowing Jesus to do in our hearts, in our church family, what He wants to do, just like He wanted to do in Andrew's and John's and James and all the others, the apostles and all of them? It just remains to be seen. Will we allow God to do with us what He did with Andrew? We've talked about this year being a year of find one, bring one. That fits in perfectly with what Andrew did. He found his brother, just one. Of course, he met many others, but he began just bringing one. I wonder if you've brought one to Jesus. I wonder if you've spoken to someone this year about their relationship to Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've introduced somebody to Jesus and brought them to the house of God, that they may hear the Word of God and be encouraged to invite them to come and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what He wants from His church. And it begins in me. And it begins in you. I dare say every one of us knows at least one person or more that probably is unchurched, and possibly they may be, not judging them, but possibly they may be unsaved. And you know someone, I'm sure. Would you pray God give you the burden like He gave it to Andrew? God give me the burden for at least one person that I can invite to church and invite to Jesus. And then when you do, you see, as Andrew brought Peter, he began to look for somebody else. He found a little lad. He found some Greeks. And only the eternity will ever tell how many people Andrew ever really did introduce to Jesus. We don't know here because the Bible doesn't say. But I'm sure there were many more than just these few recorded incidences in Andrew's life. And look what a change it made in Peter's life when he came to know Jesus. Beloved, we need to ask ourselves a serious question. Since you gave your life to Jesus, what kind of change has taken place? If you can't see any change in your life, you might want to go back to Calvary. Get on your knees again and find out if you really did get saved or not. Or find out if you're just being disobedient and not looking for that one. Find one. Bring one. Like Andrew. Then our church will grow. It'll please the Lord. Folks will hear the blessed Word of God, and they'll come to love Jesus, and then they'll begin to share Him and share Him, and this church can grow to whatever God wants it to be. I want us to be what God wants us to be, nothing more, nothing less, not for any glory for any man or anybody else, anything to brag on except Jesus, except Jesus, except Jesus.
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.